I want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning of chapter 2, we saw the courage of Paul's ministry. We saw the character of Paul's ministry and the compassion of Paul's ministry. We're not going to rehearse that. I know it's been a few weeks, but we're going to jump right into verse 13 tonight and what I would call the conversions through Paul's preaching. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, Paul had some pretty amazing things happen throughout his life and ministry that were absolutely remarkable. But what happened in Thessalonica is really fascinating. It's incredible. He's there such a short time, but they received this word, and they say, you know, that's not something they just said, well, that sounds nice. I'll put that on the shelf, and I'll get back to that. It became a part of who they were. It transformed their lives. You know, when we come together on a Sunday morning or even a Sunday night or even a night like tonight on a Wednesday, we sing praises to God. We come together, we give. That's an act of worship, if you didn't know that. But we usually finish the night out with preaching from God's Word. Now, why is that? Is it just habit? Is it just tradition? Is that just something that it seems like that's a good way to wrap up a service? Why not just sing through the whole thing? And some, I think, churches do that. And I will say I won't say that there's never a place for drama, but why not just have a drama in the place of preaching? I've seen that. And I think on a special night or an occasion, again, I'm not 1,000% against that, but not a regular diet of that. I think it's very dangerous whenever a church starts to displace the preaching of God's Word with other things that are not prescribed in the Bible. And tonight we're going to see that it's the preaching of God's Word that changes lives. It's the preaching of God's words that has impact. And so we don't gather together and have the preaching of God's Word because we think that's just a good exclamation point at the end of a good service. It's really the centerpiece, and everything else is wrapped around what happens from the Word of God. The first thing I want you to see is the reception of the Word. It says, when ye received the Word of God. He starts off by expressing gratitude that the Thessalonians received the Word of God when they heard it. I mean, the focus here is on the hearing of the Word of God. You know, this emphasis makes sense. The Thessalonians, they didn't have the completed Bible, the completed Scriptures that we have. And so the knowledge of how to be saved really, salvation was oral. It was being preached in that day by the apostles. Now, reading your Bible is important. How many times have you heard a message on reading your Bible? And we start teaching and preaching that to the kids when they're in junior church and probably in the nursery. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll what? Grow, right? And neglect your Bible. And neglecting prayer, it will cause you to do what? Shrink. Okay, if you don't know that song, I'm just going to tell you, they know it in Portuguese down there. And just like our kids, they're mopping up the floor and the ground when they're shrinking, all right? And my thought is, I don't think we're supposed to make shrinking more fun than growing, but I'm just saying, all right? But the truth of the matter is, reading your Bible is important. It's important, and God will work in your life, and you'll be transformed as you read your Bible. But the emphasis that Paul is getting is not just reading your Bible, but hearing God's Word preached. And so reading is important, but not at the expense of hearing God's Word preached. Paul highlights the power of hearing the Word of God. He does so because something supernatural takes place when the gospel is proclaimed. It's not natural for somebody to be born again. It is supernatural every time somebody trusts Christ as their Savior. And I like what Paul says. He says that they didn't just receive it merely as human words. Paul wasn't there to philosophize. He wasn't there just trying to give a good argument or rhetorical prowess to show how well he could speak. He says, you receive the word not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Paul wasn't just giving his ideas on things. Now, we're in a unique place here, close to the college, and there's a lot of young people that are studying to serve the Lord, and I praise the Lord for that. But really, this is true whether you're studying for ministry or not. One day, the Lord's going to call me home, or he'll move me. Now, I hope that's not anytime soon, okay? But you're going to have to know who to call next. You say, well, do you have their name and number, Pastor? No, I don't know who it is, okay? But you'd better understand the primacy of preaching. It's not just what that person has to say, it's what has God said that matters. We're not spending time just looking for a warm, fuzzy feeling. I mean, if that were true, I'd just pull out a Reader's Digest and read a couple of heart-moving stories and we'd all reminisce. But that wouldn't accomplish anything in your life. I hope you understand that. It's the Word of God that has the power. And it is through the preaching of God's man that is empowered by the Holy Spirit of God that begins to affect lives. Paul didn't say that, listen, I have a corner on the preaching of God's word. He said the word of God which he heard of, what? Us. Us. Now, there was others. There was Silvanus with him. I think probably Timothy. He opens up, if you remember in chapter 1, the very beginning, he talks about those that were traveling with him. But it really gives the idea that it's anyone that is proclaiming the word of God. Now, I've used a lot of pronouns, he, his, him, but I want you to know that the pulpit ministry, absolutely, God is reserved for the men. But proclaiming the gospel and sharing the word of God, that's not restricted to one gender at all. And so, ladies, I just want you to know, you have the ability to go preach the word of God. You knock on your neighbor's door, and when you put your arm around them because they're hurting, and you give them a verse that comforts them, you're preaching the word of God. You are proclaiming what God has done. If you're witnessing to somebody, whether you're a man or a woman, you are proclaiming, you are preaching the word of God. This is not just the public proclamation, although I think that's the primary application that Paul is giving here, but the truth of the matter is we all have that ability to preach the word of God and have an impact on someone's life because of it. When you have that opportunity, don't apologize for what the Word of God says. I've been tempted to do that in my own life, especially as a young Christian when I wasn't sure really if that's what God really meant or it's contradicted what society called good and right. And I'm like, oh, I don't know really if that's what God means. We don't have to apologize for what God has said. This is truth. This is right. And when we share it, we can do it unapologetically. We don't have to be sorry for what God has said. So we speak with authority. Now listen, it's not your authority. It's not because you've been saved for a long time or even if you've been saved for a short time. It's not based on your authority as a Bible trivia quiz expert. We have a lot of people that know a lot of answers, but it'd be good if we started living some of those things, okay? But it's not based on your authority of any kind. When I share the gospel, it's not based on the authority of the pastor of Maranatha Baptist Church. Do you know what the authority is based on? It's God's word that is the authority. It's not anything that we have of ourselves. Paul wasn't saying, because I'm an apostle, this is true. No, he was saying, this is the word of God. That's why this is true. It's not based on any individual, but based on God working through his word. And so when biblical preaching occurs, in a real sense, it's as though God is speaking to his people. I like what Paul says. We're going to get to it in a little bit, but he talks about the work that it produces in those, in the lives of those that hear and believe. The Word of God does not just go out and echo into the night. It accomplishes God's intent. That's what Isaiah was saying in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. There's been times where I've preached and I think, did anything happen? Did I miss the mark on this thing? And I don't sense that God had led me in any other direction than what I preach, and I've got to be satisfied in that. But then I am reminded of this verse to say that God's going to accomplish with His word what He wants to accomplish. Now, I'm not a Calvinist, not even by any stretch of any kind of an imagination, but I will tell you that God is sovereign, and He can do with His word what He wants to do. And as we preach it, by the way, it's not just you and me preaching from behind the pulpit, but as you share that verse with your neighbor, as you witness to that coworker, as you are talking to that family member, God is going to take His word, and you have no idea what impact it will have, if not then at some point in that person's life, that God really uses it to draw that person to Himself. What does that mean for us? I'm not saying that sermons are divinely inspired. My notes are not inerrant, I promise you. But it does mean that when we open God's word and we faithfully explain it, when we preach it with the authority of God's word, as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of people that are listening, we understand that God is addressing His people. You know, I think this is reflected in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Paul wrote to the church of Rome, and he said, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Oh, listen. It's the preaching of God's word that He has blessed. It is the preaching of God's word that He wants us to be involved with even today, and not just at church, but in the workplace. And I'm not talking about building yourself a homemade pulpit and getting up there and necessarily preaching, but I'm saying sharing the word of God, constantly speaking the word of God, speaking truth into somebody else's life. That's how people get saved. Salvation comes through the preaching of God's word, right? Faith is increased when we hear the word of God. That's what he summarizes in verse 17 of Romans chapter 10. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I think it's interesting that Paul doesn't really say that faith comes by hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's hearing the word. And I would say it this way, you're hearing God through His word. That is what's operating here. When preaching aligns with God's word, aligns with Scripture, it's not merely human speech. It's divine work, where God is working and speaking through His messengers by the Holy Spirit's power. Many of you probably have heard the conversion story of Charles Spurgeon. And on a snowy Sunday evening in January of 1850, a 15-year-old Charles Spurgeon was kind of wandering the streets of Colchester, England. He was supposed to be going to a church service down the way, but this fierce snowstorm pushed him into this little, small, primitive Methodist chapel. The snowstorm was so bad, the regular preacher couldn't even show up, and so there was a layman up front. He was a simple man. a simple means. But he stood up to preach, and he took as his text Isaiah 45, 22, which says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Now, Charles Spurgeon, he kind of relates that this man was not an eloquent speaker. But he simply kept repeating the verse, urging those that were there to look to Christ. Then, spotting Spurgeon in this very small congregation on this evening, he fixed his eyes on him and he said, "Young man, you look miserable, and you will always be miserable. Miserable in life, miserable in death, if you do not obey this text. But if you look to Christ, you will be saved." Spurgeon would later say that moment changed his life. He later recounted that as he heard the simple preaching of God's word, it was as if Christ himself were speaking to him. Right there, under the unpolished words of an untrained preacher, he turned to Christ in faith and he was born again. Now, Spurgeon would go on to be one of the most eloquent preachers that really, not just of his generation, but of any generation. But his conversion was not through eloquence. His conversion wasn't one of based on human personality. Really, his conversion perfectly illustrates the truth of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. That in Romans 10, 17. When the word of God is faithfully preached, it's not merely the voice of man, it is the voice of God calling sinners to salvation. You know, this passage in 1 Thessalonians is from almost 2,000 years ago, or more than 2,000 years ago. Or right at 2,000 years ago. Spurgeon's conversion, that was only 175 years ago. I remember 30 years ago being in a service on a Wednesday night just like this and hearing the pastor preach. I couldn't tell you what the passage was, but I understood that night that I was a sinner and I needed the Lord Jesus Christ, and without him, I was going to go into a terrible place called hell when I died. I remember the power and the burden, the conviction that I was under. And I'll tell you, it wasn't just somebody up there speaking. It was God using his messenger to help me to see my need for Jesus. You say, "Pastor, 35 years ago, 30 years ago, that's a long time ago." I can tell you, just last week, I saw three young children in the middle of the jungle bow their head and ask the Lord to save them. It is the same power of God. It's not the preacher. It's the preaching of God's word. God is still using it today. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of instances of misuse and abuse of pulpits across our country. I say across the world. And anyone that would presume to stand and teach or preach the Word of God has to approach it with humility and really a deep sense of responsibility. My greatest fear as a pastor is coming up and saying, "Thus saith the Lord," when that's not what he said or meant or intended for us to take at all. Those types of things keep me up at night. I want to get it right. God wants me to get it right. But we have to come with that sense of responsibility. By the way, young man, let me just talk to you for a second. The pulpit is not a place or a platform for personal attacks, to try to set the record straight, to defend yourself. That's not what the pulpit is for. It's not a bully pulpit where you get to pick on somebody. I've tried to make this a hallmark of my ministry, is that I will not say anything behind the pulpit that I've not already talked to somebody if I know they're struggling with that. And there's been times where I've been counseling somebody and we're just going through a book just like we are here. And I've gone to them and I said, "Listen, I'm going to be preaching on what we've been talking about." I said, "I'm not attacking you. I'm not bringing this up. This is where God has us, because I'm not going to not preach on it because you're struggling with this. But by God's grace, I hope to never use the pulpit as a bully pulpit. You can't settle disputes from behind the pulpit. The pulpit is a place to open up God's word and say, this is what God has said, and this is our responsibility to God in light of that truth. We must faithfully proclaim the word of God. You know, the true test of preaching is whether or not you can hear God's voice. Not the preacher's, but what is God saying to me in my heart? You know, John 10 provides a key to understanding 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 right here. The passage in John 10 speaks of salvation, and Christ is calling his sheep. And Jesus declares that his sheep know his voice, and they follow him, and he leads them, and they know his voice, and they're not going to follow a stranger, they're following the Lord. In verse 16 of John chapter 10, Jesus says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall not, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, what is he saying in John chapter 10? He's saying that when the gospel is preached, there's going to be more than just the Jews that hear God's voice and are drawn to him. But the question is, without the Lord Jesus Christ having an earthly ministry right now, how do they hear his voice? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. If Jesus is in heaven and we can't audibly hear him, how do we still hear him? Well, the answer is clear. When we preach the word of God, we hear God's voice. We hear the Lord's voice. You know, I've read that verse or that passage in John chapter 10 has been a driving force behind many different missionaries. Missionaries like David Brainerd, William Carey, David Livingstone, and others. They ventured into unreached lands because they believed that other sheep needed to hear the Lord's voice to the gospel preaching that they were called to do. I think that's one of the most basic and elemental purposes of preaching, to proclaim the word of God so that God's voice is heard. So Romans 10, John chapter 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 is all saying that when somebody faithfully preaches, it's not merely human words that are going out. It's the Lord himself speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he is the one who makes the message effective. Has your heart ever been stirred during a sermon? Have you ever been warmed and thought, you know, this is something that God is doing in my heart? Has he ever called you to make a decision for himself? You understand that preaching is not just giving a lecture. It's not just exegeting a passage. It is proclaiming with authority, thus saith the Lord, and letting him use his word. And so preaching cannot be neglected. It can't be displaced. It can't be put on the shelf. It's not a relic of the past. It is still the tool that God uses to affect lives today. Look what it says in verse 13 of chapter 2. It says, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now look at that last phrase, which effectually worketh also in you. Paul says that is working in them. It wasn't just a head knowledge. It was something that changed their lives. It transformed them. The Word of God is what changes us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit transformed them. You know, when God's Word takes root in your heart, it produces fruit in your life. They weren't the same as they were before Paul had preached to them. I've got a couple questions for you tonight. The first is, as somebody that is sharing the Word of God, do you share with authority? Or are you kind of apologetic? I just want to encourage you. I'm not saying be ugly, be brazen in the sense that you have no compassion or love, but I am saying we don't have to apologize for God's Word. He wants us to share it with others. And understand, you may not see the immediate effects of that, but you can trust God's going to do something with it in the person's life. All God is asking you to do is be faithful. He's not saying that you have to stir up the results. He just says, be faithful in sharing my Word. But I want to ask you this as well. When is the last time that the Word of God has worked effectually in your life that has caused you to make a decision for the Lord? Where He stirred you, He warmed your heart, and you realized that He was working and He wanted you to follow through on that. Well, listen, if we can sit under the Word of God week after week after week, and for many of you, day after day after day, and it has no effect other than to say, that was a good message, that was hermeneutically sound, that was a good whatever from the message, but it never reaches your heart, then we're not listening for the Word of the Lord. We've allowed this book to become academic. Oh, pray that never happens to you. And if it does, ask God to warm your heart again to His Word. Let us never allow this book to simply be a book. Let me just finish by reading it one last time. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. May God's Word change us when we hear it preached. And let us faithfully proclaim what He has said. And I think God will use that. Well, let me rephrase that. God will use that. All right? Let's go ahead and take some prayer requests tonight.